Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everybody and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's the first podcast back after we went on a little adventure last week. We'll tell you all about that in a minute. How are you guys doing? You all right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you all about that in a minute.
Okay.
Question one, I'll tell you how I am.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
It ties into question one.
Yeah.
Do you want to be equally mysterious? Or?
Sure, I can be. It's not, mine doesn't tie in with question one, but I won't tell you.
Oh, until question one.
Forever. You'll never know.
You'll
never
know.
Oh, no.
We're not allowed to find out how Ashton is.
No.
Don't ask me how I am.
How are you, Ben?
No, or same.
You, are, oh. You have to say you're fine when you're really not fine.
Yeah. That's that one. Yeah, one of those today.
Yeah.
Fine.
Just fine. We're all fine. We'll tell you what we've been up to shortly, though. Welcome to our video game podcast. We're glad you could join us. It's very exciting to have you here. Pull up a chair, or if you're already sat down, stand up.
Lie down.
And then lie down.
Plank.
And then if you're uncomfortable, pull up a chair.
Yeah.
Each and every week, we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. Helps us keep the lights on here. Still only on one bulb at the moment. Any sign of Dead Island 2, the spider?
There.
The house is gone.
Is he?
Yeah, Dead Island 2 house has disappeared.
Oh, man. Well, the weather's turned again.
It's gone back to his home.
It's
gotten
again.
Cold and wet. It's been awful. One thing we can talk about is the studio leaked again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It did.
So those of you who were paying close attention over the Christmas, New Year's period will be aware that our entire studio flooded because a pipe burst. And fortunately, Tom Campbell of Cultaholic happened to be coming into work very naughtily to work when he shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Which was so lucky for me, because otherwise I would have been the first one to discover
been the first
it.
One
and
to
I would not
it.
Have dealt with it well.
And it would have been later. It would have been worse that you found
only a day later.
But still.
It still would have been bad.
Yeah.
So when he found it, it had come out of the cupboard and gone basically throughout the entire room, which is quite a long room. And it was proper
and
like...
And into the hallway.
Yeah. It was proper splish splash flood. We're not talking wet carpet. We're talking like a couple of inches of water across the whole room, which is not good. Fortunately, nothing was broken. We managed to get a dehumidifier and a wet vacuum to clean it all
that
up.
That thing's crazy.
It's really good, isn't it?
I watched it yesterday and it was mad.
Yeah.
If you ever get any mud on the carpet, I suggest just pouring a bucket of water over and then going over the wet vacuum.
Yeah.
You're sorted. But yesterday, I came downstairs, heard a little trickling. I was like, I shouldn't be able to hear trickling. And I noticed that there was, from the same cupboard that there had been a leak before, there was sort of like the carpet was getting dark bluer. And it was dark bluer, darker blue, and it was expanding very slowly. And I was like, and I ran upstairs and just went, Tom, it's happening again. It's leaking again. Adam called the plumber, whatever happened last time. Fortunately, we were able to spring into action, pull everything out of the way. Tom managed to shove some blue tack in the leak hole.
And he was in there like on his back on the wet floor, just taping stuff up.
Of course
up.
He was.
Superhero Tom
And it was
Campbell.
Really good. I came downstairs to get my card and walked in. I was like, what's going on here? And like, the flood's happening again. And it's Tom in the cupboard and three people just stood
three
around
boys,
looking at him.
Three boys, because that's what boys have to do.
Yeah.
They have to go, if you try...
I really felt like one of the boys when I was stood there looking.
Yeah, great job. Is it the right pipe?
Yeah.
You know, really lending expertise.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I see a problem there. It's leaking.
It's leaking.
I came
in
and said, "Have you turned the water mains off?" And was told yes. And I was like, "Well, that's about as much."
Try
as
putting
I can
some.
Help.
So we put tape around. I say we, collective we. Tom, I was in the room.
Tom
the
royal.
We put tape around it, and Sam ran off and got some waterproof tape from the nearby sort of hardware store that's just around the down the corner, down the corner, round the road, whatever the hell it is. I'm trying to say, help. Anyway, so basically, we managed to stop the leak pretty quickly. Plumber came out. Seems like it's going to be an entire boiler replacement, which is crap, isn't it?
That dehumidifier is musical, isn't it?
It's nice.
I turned it off today. I went in to record a little line, pressed the button, it went...
It's lovely. It's great. A lovely thing.
I turned it back on. It went...
Sing your little song. Yeah, it's nice.
So it could have been worse, but... I think the next episode of Worst Games will have us sat on the stream sofa just because we're still waiting for the plumber to come and actually do the work. Thanks, and
maybe
it's right behind the Worst Games
setup.
That'll
be where Deadline 2, the house, the spider has gone. Maybe he's sort of floated away.
Flushed away. Yeah.
Aardman and DreamWorks is
flushed away.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we are. A little bit of banter for the start. A little bit of pleb banter.
Rodney and...
Densetsu Mouse Town Adventure. Well, anyway, so we got a sponsor, right? And yes. Peter's going to read it, and it's about games.
Sort of. Yeah. Sony.
Yeah.
We know them.
Diversified.
How?
Okay.
They've come up with you know how everything's being gamified nowadays?
Yes.
You know? Exercise. You put your headset on and you can see sonic rings as you do the hoovering.
Oh,
I do
that's
that.
Cool,
that's
yeah.
my favorite.
All
one.
Of that sort of rubbish. Well, they're doing it with everything. And because we live in this big consumerist capitalist society, it's important for big companies to get good reviews, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so Sony have worked with eBay to develop a new...
I think it's pronounced EA, isn't it?
eBay Sports. It's in eBay. To come up with a new system to encourage people to give each other reviews on online shopping site eBay.
Okay.
Coming soon from Sony.
Yeah.
Seller grade.
Right. Yeah.
Coming soon from Sony.
Yeah.
Seller grade.
Do you get it?
I do.
You got to grade those sellers.
Well, yeah, because you got to, review the sellers, the people
you
who are
also,
selling the items.
You can also where they store their items under their house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can see if that's any good as well.
This is all important.
That's it. Sony, eBay, seller grade, it's not real.
Oh, for God's sake. You know what? I really thought if there was going to be one that was real... This would be it.
It would be Seller Grade.
Yeah.
Darn. Well, no, we're not sponsored by Seller Grade. We're sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you go and support us there, you get access to a bevy of rewards, including getting early access to weirdest and worst games ever, exclusive access to episodes of Main Menu and Rules Boss, and you get to ask questions for this podcast, which is dead simple, by the way. Basically, you just pick a news story that you think is interesting and put it in the comments and go,
What think?
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah.
And almost certainly get a shout out in this podcast as we read your questions. So do consider that. Patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Triplejump.mup is our website. That's where you can find links to our YouTube, our Twitch, our Discord, our cameos. If you want a cameo from us, you can get anything there. Triple Jump Shop is where you can get all of our amazing merchandise. You're wearing the new merch today.
I am. The Triple Jump Leavers hoodie.
Yes.
This one's one drop ago.
Japan Rising
Which
Sun.
Means about a year ago.
This is from our first ever wave
of
merch.
We're all wearing merch this week.
5 years ago.
Yeah. Last week, none of us were wearing merch. Today,
really?
I think
I not wearing merch last week?
No, I think we literally made a point of being like, none of us are wearing merch.
I wore my Butter Tendo shirt. I have two piles of shirts. One is for out of work and one is for work. And they're usually game or merch related.
Right.
So I just cycle through them. Anyway, triplejumpshop.com. Go check it out. A few things happening this week / have happened this week. Isn't that right? One or both of you?
Yeah, this week's the weirdest games ever week. It is a weird one, and Kieran said it was his favorite one to edit.
Yeah,
so,
really?
Yeah, he really enjoyed it, and I watched it, and it's very good.
It is good.
So,
is it for patrons or for everybody?
It's for everyone out this week.
Oh.
It was out for patrons last week, so gotcha. If you're a patron, you can already go watch it now. We played iPet.
Yes.
And it was, I had a really good time playing that game. Did you?
Yeah. It was really good and responsive, and I was playing it. The camera was here facing that way, and I'm trying to look at that and the screen and work out how I need to move my hands.
It just works.
It did just work.
Not even 90 degrees, mm-hmm. about 70 degrees yeah. to the camera. So
that was the precursor to the fundamental technology behind PlayStation Move. So yeah. you yeah. show it some respect. Mm-hmm. Everyone yeah. loved PlayStation Move.
It was all... It's true.
And then that went to the VR headset. So, you know, there's the little yeah, lineage yeah, yeah. there. Yeah. The lineage.
You can see the history of things that work well.
Main Menu, talking of things that worked well, also went out on Patreon. It's a Patreon-exclusive show along with Rules Boss. They alternate month on month. And this month we did our Main Menu and, wow, Tom Campbell features.
He does actually. Spoilers. Superhero Tom Campbell. Yeah. yeah.
That is a spoiler, actually, because we keep it secret until like,
it's okay.
until he comes on screen.
If you're a patron, you haven't seen it yet. You've had a
yeah,
few.
You've probably already watched it.
You could watch it already. And speaking of history as well, going back to what nice. Ashton said a minute ago, yeah. We've ranked every single Assassin's Creed game from worst to best. That's out on the channel right now. What do you think the best is? What do you think the worst is? Release your hidden blade in the comments below. That's
the
worst.
Is the best one Assassin's Creed 2?
I can't comment on that.
Okay. That's what I would think it would be. Brotherhood.
One, Assassin's Creed 2.
No, the best one.
Oh, okay.
Or Brotherhood. Brotherhood's kind of iconic.
Both excellent games. Both
say,
very
if you're going to go out on a limb and say Assassin's Creed 2 is the worst
Assassin's Creed, it's a hot take. You're
going to
be in big trouble. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Come on here. Assassin's Creed 2.
She needs to stop having an opinion on it.
Look, I told you, we just need a cardboard cutout of Ashton to sit there with a soundboard.
With a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Great. Even if it was perfect. Just there without a soundboard, people would get cross.
Where's you?
Why is she silently judging me?
Just so furious. Calm down, everyone. I'm also going to give a cheeky shout out to the fact that it is April now, which is very exciting for all of us. Clip Clop for the entire month of April.
Don't say Clop.
No, that is it's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not this again.
So for the entire month of April, on Tuesdays at 5 p.m, it's in April, so I'm streaming brilliant horse games. Did my first one this week. You've still got 4 more weeks of incredible horse games.
I'm kind
of
jealous because I was looking at the game you played this week and I was like, I kind of
want to
play
BB&T and
New
Adventures
game.
With Horses.
Yeah.
You could do it next month.
Maybe
it's
I'll
just
do, maybe it'll be
well,
nay.
Well, no, well, this is it. We were talking about it on chat. We suggested that maybe you could just do gay next month.
Yeah.
And just play LGBTQIA.
I don't have to try that. I normally just find
you
them.
Just play. Yeah. So it's April, it's January, February, March.
April gay.
Would you like to?
What rhymes?
You could
with
do.
June?
You could do June. Is this legs? Just legs games
yeah,
for the whole
June.
There we are.
Yeah,
so coming
soon.
So we do theme months now.
Yeah.
So in April, you can come. There's some tosh coming out this
far. Yeah?
Let me tell you, some really good stuff.
Can't wait.
So twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. We stream pretty much every day on there.
If you miss it, it's on the VODs channel.
We could also probably announce the fact that we've got a special stream coming at the end of the month, haven't we?
Probably could.
Let's.
Yeah.
At the end of this month, the final Thursday of the month, in place of the usual sleepover stream, it will still be a later stream, time TBD, we are going to be celebrating the 300,000 subscriber milestone by doing a special D&D one-shot featuring us three. James Jenkins, our writer Kat, will be DMing the session. It's going to be like a Triple Jump lore special with all the characters and fun stuff like that.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be really good fun. So we hope you can join us. It'll be on YouTube. There'll be some trailers and stuff going out over the next few weeks to signpost you to the right place to tune in and watch it.
We're going to get into costume. We've not said that we are. I'm asking you live on camera now.
I've got Barbara left her barbarian clothes, so that's already sorted for me.
I might have to ask for some allowance from Adam Pacitti.
Can I please go and buy a princess costume?
So
yes, that'll be the end of the month, the last Thursday of the month. Can't remember the specific day off the top of my head. I want to say
24th. I think it's the 24th.
25th of April.
I was right.
So we'll see you there on YouTube for a fantastic D&D adventure. Peter, should we start the questions?
Question one comes from Cameron Keywood, who says, Hi, Bap. What are your standout
moments? Hi, Cameron.
From Insomnia. And did the con crud hit you at all? Kudos to Ashton's Pikmin cosplay as well as...
Thank you.
As well. Kind regards, Cameron J. Keywood. Yes, Cameron, listen to my voice. Listen to how I sound.
My voice is a little bit messed up today as well.
What your voice is?
Yeah.
Is it? Well, I've not seen you all week, so you can't blame me.
No.
I didn't give it to you.
Well.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the term con crud.
I've heard it as con flu.
I've heard of con flu, which is what I messaged everyone with the day after insomnia. I said, my throat really hurts.
I've come down with the sickness.
Don't feel well. Everyone else seems to have gotten away with it, but I had to come into work today. So I had a day off work, which I'd already booked as holiday because I thought, post-insomnia, I'm going to want a break.
We worked all weekend.
Yeah.
We deserve it.
Then yesterday I worked from home because I was like, don't need people in my germs. And then I thought that I have to go and do work now at the office. So fingers crossed, no one catches anything. I'm really crossed as well because I'm a bit of a germaphobe as it is. And I was like washing my hands a lot. But unfortunately, these things are airborne as much as they are surface borne. Mm-hmm. So if I'm just breathing near a gamer boy, or girl,
or other,
then maybe I'll catch what they've got, and I did. So you know, sure it didn't help us go into the very wild quiz that happened on the first night.
That was a great night.
Yeah, do you want to talk us through like how did you guys find the convention generally?
I had a lovely time. I thought it was great. Everyone was really nice. I'll talk about this more in a video that's coming up soon. Yes. But yeah, I had a lovely time, and there was lots to see. I think there was quite a lot to do actually. Yeah, and when I was in my Pikmin costume, everyone was loving it, and yeah. I felt like talk of the town.
If you've not seen Ashton's homemade Pikmin costume, you should probably go to her Twitter now.
Yeah.
If you're on Twitch, did you see that I made the emote for you last night?
I did see it.
So
yeah,
there's two Pikminston emotes now, and they're both as cursed.
One's one's like just like the full face, and one's right.
The
other's
with the flowers. So, okay,
it's good.
Yeah. So you dressed up in a red morph. It's a homemade costume.
Yeah. Well, I bought the morph suit. Mm. I don't know how to make that. Then I made the flower and the stem that come off my head, and then I painted my face red, and then I took it off, and I didn't have a con flu, but I did have a face rash for like 3 days from I think the paint and also the thing I took the paint off with, and also how aggressively I was scrubbing my face in the toilets, because we had stuff to film in the afternoon and I had to take it off like halfway through the day. And it was good though. Everyone really liked it. People were coming up taking pictures of, they were asking to take pictures of me rather than like with me, which I thought was really strange.
these two Halo guys came over in like
amazing,
really cool Spartan armor. One of them I think was like heavy or big boy or whatever his name is from Halo Reach, like the guy with the massive chain gun. And then he said, oh, can we have a photo?
Can Master Chief
have a photo with you? Refer to him as Master Chief.
I think it was like...
On the end,
Yeah. And then, so they were in these amazing costumes, like really well made, have probably taken literal months. Mm. And they came over to me to ask if they could take a picture with me.
And they were like, he said, oh, Master Chief's a huge Pikmin fan.
Is he? Yeah.
And on his gun,
he
had a little keychain with a tiny red Pikmin.
I was like, it's me.
Oh, incredible.
And they
did Master Chief speak?
Me.
I don't think he did.
No. Okay. I don't think she didn't
finishing
say anything.
This fight.
Oh, she always is.
Master Chief was a she.
Oh, amazing.
Mistress Chief.
Master Chief.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, and when we were walking around, people kept being like, oh my God, it's a Pikmin. Yeah. Or looking at me. And I was like, why are people looking at me? And then I remembered that I was dressed like a Pikmin.
People stopped her a lot.
Yeah. And they kept catching myself in the reflection of like a window and seeing what I look like and like jump scaring myself.
And then later when you changed out of it, like in the afternoon, didn't you hear someone, you like walked past someone in the crowd and they went, I haven't seen that Pikmin in a while. And you were like,
where's she gone?
Oh, I'm the Assassin's Pikmin.
International woman of mystery.
In the crowd.
I'm like Hitman.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about the what's it called? The quiz?
Oh, quiz was amazing.
It was really
feral,
good.
Absolutely feral.
So this was after the usual show. It was like 10
we were
PM,
really lucky. Shout out to Philip, who was our kind of contact. And I was like, oh, man, we didn't realize we had to get tickets for the quiz. And he was like, I'm about to go into a meeting about it. If I can get you tickets, I'll get you tickets. And I was like, thanks so much. And he got us a full table. And we went there and there was... six of us?
Yeah, I think six of us.
Lord Brotovich, mod extraordinaire and temporary employee of this weekend, whether he liked it or not, was part of the quiz team. And it was mental. Like, between every round, they'd play music, which initially started just being the countdown theme tune to get people to, like, go and put their answer sheet in and get back to their table. Mm-hmm. But then eventually just evolved into, like, people were just dancing in the middle of the room between all these tables.
Mm-hmm. It was either like sing along kind of songs, like, you know, it was like Come On Eileen
or Country Road.
Yeah, or Country Roads. And then it kind of devolved into kind of like metal music or pop punk. At one point, can't remember what song was playing, but it was getting near the end. People had been like, a crowd had gathered by the stage while they were playing the song. And the host suddenly went...
It was Linkin Park.
Oh, yeah, it was Linkin Park. He suddenly went, no, no, stop moshing, stop moshing. No, no, seriously, stop moshing, stop moshing.
I've got a video of it from within the crowd. Like, I'm on my own in the crowd and I'm filming it. And he's going, seriously, guys, stop moshing, stop moshing. And I put it on my Instagram. And Jack from Cultaholic messaged me the next day being like, the stop moshing story was my favorite story of all time ever. He just was like, I keep playing it and people keep asking me if I'm watching stop moshing again. So then I had to download it off my Instagram story and send it to him because he was like, I'm really sad that it's gone.
It'll be going.
So he...
It was because the whole quiz was kind of no holds barred. It was like the humor was 18 plus, possibly 21 plus. Yeah. We saw some... videos on the... In fact, I wanted to say this to you, Ashton, because I feel like really like bad about it. You were sitting next to me like the next day somewhere at the convention or something. The night before, when we got back, I'd put a tweet out saying, oh, the quiz was like really weird. It was great. And it was so strange that they were like playing shock videos.
It's true, they were.
Which they were, mm-hmm. like actual, essentially pornographic imagery at some point.
Were things blurred out, though?
Things blurred out, yeah. It wasn't like really
no full
bad,
nudity
but,
on the
you
screen.
You know, they were like, it was very much like, oh, God, what is this? And whenever I was writing this tweet, I was like, are they called shock videos? Is that right? And so I Googled the word shock video.
Oh, no.
And the top result was the Wikipedia article. It said shock site, because, you know, there used to be actual links you had to go to. And I forgot to close the tab. And then the next day I was sitting next to you and you said, oh, can you just like search for something or other? And I opened my browser and the page I'd left it on was the Wikipedia article that said shock site at the top. And I was like,
I didn't see that with zero context.
Oh no.
I'm going to have to wait until we're doing content and then say, Ashton, if you saw the word shock site.
Here's why.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see anything.
Good. Well, now I feel much better.
Yeah.
But it was really good. To answer your first question, and then you should answer it as well, what did I think of the show generally? Because the quiz was great and it was really strange. I think I could have done everything I did in one day rather than two.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed both days in that day one, out and seeing everything and it's all new and interesting. Day two, by the time I had seen everything, was the day that I met a few more people who weren't there day one. Mm-hmm. I didn't really bump into anyone that we knew, as far as I remember, on day one. Maybe one or two people, but...
Someone, I was waiting to see if I could get a drink. I was waiting to get some chips, and someone came up to me. They didn't introduce themselves, so if it's you, thanks so much. They were like, oh, I really love your content. Can I buy you a drink? Bought me a half pint of cider, and then disappeared into the crowd. I didn't get their name. I didn't even really get to say thank you.
The cider fairy.
They just gave me it and then disappeared, so
saw a couple of... viewers/fans on day one, but day two, like creator friends had turned up. Which was really nice to see. So that's what I enjoyed the most about the second day. How did you find it?
I thought it was all right. Yeah. I had the last time we went, which would have been what, 2018, I think, to Insomnia specifically.
Yeah.
There were lots of like really exciting games to play. Like Spider-Man was there before it had released and stuff like that. So I think a part of me was hoping for more things to play that were exciting. And I don't think that I feel like this is just sort of, it isn't a specific issue with Insomnia as it is just generally, it seems, with UK conventions. But certainly, you know, the likes of EGX and stuff, previously you'd be able to go there and play lots of games that are yet to be released. They'll have like hands-on demos and things like that, and there wasn't really any of that this year, which I was a little bummed out by, because that was one of the main reasons I was excited to go, was to potentially play some stuff. But there was some fun market stalls that I quite enjoyed. I managed to get myself another Game Boy.
Indeed.
That I was missing from my collection. I bought some Blue Fanta, which we don't have in the UK, but you can buy in Europe, and I always buy it when I'm on holiday, so that was
what fun. Flavor is Blue Fanta, because there's Blue Fanta in our fridge at the office.
It's not that.
Is it not that?
It's like, it's in a blue bottle.
Oh, not a blue can.
It's, yeah. Well, right. It probably does come in a blue can in some countries. The liquid itself isn't blue. It's just the colouring of the bottle. So it's sort of like I don't really know how to describe it. It's like a perfumey, sort of lemonade-y kind of flavour.
We've got some blue cans in the fridge, but I guess they're not it.
I'll have a look, but it's not going to be that, because I always look, and we need to sell it here. But anyway, it reminds me of holiday, so I bought some of that. Mainly, though, I just really enjoyed the weekend and hanging out as a team. That was really fun. We went out for a meal, and we stayed in like a... You all right? What happened there?
I'm fine. It's all good.
You're falling apart.
Yeah.
We played a Wales Interactive game together.
We met Wales Interactive.
Yeah, you did.
And they knew who we were.
Yeah, it was exciting.
And apparently someone was really sad that they had just left, but we got there. And they were like, oh, Ben, his name was Ben, is going to be very upset that he missed you.
They had a selfie with us purely so they could wave it in
Make
Ben's
Ben
face.
Jealous. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ben. Yeah. Oh, poor Ben. We stayed in what can only be described as university accommodation, which was interesting.
It was really good because it was spliced right between next to a train track and right next to
a flight path,
the landing path. So you basically got a constant cacophony of transport noises.
Not in our room.
Not in your room, though.
No.
Me and Kat had Kat slept like a baby. I did not.
I don't think many of us slept well that weekend.
No. I was running on the Friday during the conference and all the way through to the quiz that finished at midnight, running on a solid 2 hours sleep. Like, there was one point during the quiz where they were doing like a science round and my brain was like, we're going. Yeah. And then the music started playing. And I was like, I'm alive. Let's go. But no, it was great. One thing I didn't like, which I think is an issue I have with a lot of conventions, is that the army had an absolutely massive
thing. They did have a huge store
and were wandering around. And they also had like a little esports section as well that was by the British Army. And I think it's kind of scummy to have the army there, especially
lonely,
in the capacity. Yeah, in
people,
the capacity that they are, that they were there and doing some of the things they were doing, it felt a bit dodge. So I know that, like, you know, they've got to recruit, I guess, for war? Question mark. But I just felt like they were really present and constantly around.
It's not the best place to recruit. I agree that, they have to recruit somewhere.
Yeah.
And there are places for them to do it. But, excuse me. But I think going somewhere where, as you say, Ben, and well, we all said at the time, there are some vulnerable people there. Perhaps young, impressionable people who might not have necessarily the direction or the advice that they should have before signing up to the army or before, you know, stating an interest. And also a lot of people who are probably into Call of Duty. And I think that's essentially that might be part of the decision-making process that's been made there by the army, is that they've thought, there'll be people who are really into their shooters there. They were coming at it from a STEM angle. They were saying like, if you're into like tech, you're probably
they were
into
driving little droids around.
Engineering. They had like a little bomb disposal bot. But I also kind of feel like they're specifically targeting people who they think like guns.
Yeah. I mean, they had their massive tank there that looked like it was made out of Lego because of the pattern on it. And I just thought, imagine if there were like some more games here.
Yeah.
Instead of a tank, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
they did have a big tank.
You know, whatever your feelings are on the armed forces, etc. It's like, I would just much prefer there to be more things to play. And I get that Insomnia is less about games and more about general
community.
Geek, nerd, culture, community, playing that kind of stuff. Yeah. But there was so much space dedicated to them where I would have loved to have just like played, because the indie section was great.
We spent a lot of time there on the
They section. Only had like one unit that you could play on per booth, and so it was
Everyone
quite hard
to
play anything.
On the Saturday had found or sourced a second thing for people to play on because they were only given the one thing.
Yeah.
So everyone had like gone home to find a laptop or had found something else they could use because they were just, like you say, they only had the one set up, which was a shame.
I would have liked more games personally, but that was really my only criticism. I know it was a really fun show. There were lots of free energy drinks available, which I took full advantage of.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. It was just a lovely weekend. And we played some live action D&D as well.
Yes, we did.
And they had a stand there. And one of the guys, shout out to the guy who was co-running it, who listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
We had a lovely time doing
that. He was running your session, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. And it was excellent. We really enjoyed that. We have We have done a lot of filming to make a vlog, and we're hoping to put that out for patrons soon. So you'll see all of our shenanigans, including the reveal of Pikminston.
Well, that might go in another.
Or is that going in a different video?
It's going in a different video.
Well, you'll see some Pikminston in it.
It'll be in both, I'm sure.
Probably, yeah.
So yeah, patreon.com/teamtriplejump if you want to get ready to see that video when it comes out. Good show though. Good fun. Good weekend. Tired, still tired. Everyone came away from it very sleepy, but a good laugh, and we all had fun.
I had an idea while we were there though for a segment for the podcast. And I thought we could trial it now. And I think we should call it What We Playin'.
What We Armying.
Oh.
No.
It's What We Playin' time. Time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter Austin, what you've been playing?
Well, I don't know if you guys know, we went to Insomnia.
What?
And while we were away, we all played some games together.
We did.
So I thought I'd get us off the line with those first. We did some Wii Sports.
Mm.
It's Wii Sports Resort, actually.
Resort. Kieran Burr is Wii. Mm-hmm.
There was some Mario Kart, one of them. Didn't know which one it was.
The new one.
Was it the latest one?
Yeah.
Eight.
Deluxe.
Yeah.
Mega.
Did you play anything else on day two with Kieran?
No, it was mainly Wii Sports.
You left before us, yeah.
Did have a lovely walk.
Did some Wii and Switch together. We played Mia and the Dragon Princess. As a group.
Love that game.
Which was a lot of fun.
It's the best one.
We played through it twice because the first ending we got didn't really explain anything, but that's kind of Ralph's Interactive's whole MO, and we love it. So we have to play it a second time, mm-hmm. so it lasts even longer.
Because it was Kat's first time playing it. We all knew the story, or one of the many
Kat stories. Wrote our Wales Interactive inspired game without having played a Wales Interactive
game. Which I think is probably for the best.
I think it's impressive, to be honest.
I'm really impressed.
She smashed it. We can't wait for you to see it when it's finished, obviously. Mm-hmm. But she enjoyed it. She had a great time experiencing Mia and the Dragon Princess.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's possible that I was one of the only people on planet Earth that weekend who played two different Wiis and played Wii Sports Resort on them both.
Wow.
Because after the show, on my way back up to Newcastle, I stopped via my in-laws, where my wife's younger brother and sister were. And we always get the Wii out when we're there. Played some Wii Sports Resort, played some Wii Party, did the Globetrot thing where you go around and take photos at different landmarks and stuff. And since then, I've not been very well. And so I've not actually played anything at home since I got back. I know some people, when they're ill, that's like prime gaming time.
Yeah.
Sit on the sofa, shut the world out, boot something up. Not for me. I've just been in bed mostly. Awake, but just on my phone. So I'm afraid all I've played is the Wii.
How are we?
I've played some other games. I did want to talk about a game that I had played at Insomnia. I demoed while we were there. And it's called Morgan, the Metal Detective. And I would like to give them a shout out because I think that game is looking great. And they seemed like a lovely gang. And the game was fun to play, and it's available to wishlist on Steam, and it's now on my wishlist. So I would fully recommend giving that a look if you fancy it. And the other thing I've played is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I still haven't finished it. I got to the point now where I was like, cool, I'm almost done. And then they gave me even more to do. They said there's more side quests now.
You don't have to do
them. I said, God damn it, I've got to do them all now.
I said, no. I said, I'm not, I won't.
I've been doing
them. I don't care
that
they need, I don't care that you hurt your elbow.
I've been doing them all.
What about, you know, that person who lost that thing?
Yeah.
I already helped someone tempt their chickens back to a village. How pressing could it possibly be?
God, that quest was a nightmare.
For me to fly across the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did have to turn it off on Sunday. Because I was a bit sleepy and I've been driving for 4 hours and then I was playing a Queen's Blood game and this guy just kept messing me up. Whenever I had a plan, he'd stick his thing there and then he'd take all of my pins. And I was getting really annoyed and my boyfriend just said, why don't you just turn the game off and we'll watch a movie instead?
Sometimes that's the worst thing to hear in the world.
I was like, no. And then eventually I just got so fed up that I did decide that I didn't want to fight this guy anymore. And then I went back on Monday, tried again, beat him first time.
Yes,
but,
that's it.
That's what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, but I have been having a good time. That game is great. I just... I'm starting to feel, and I've been feeling like this for a while, but it became very apparent this weekend that they have done too much with this game, and I think they've shot themselves in the foot a little bit. I am confused by some of the story things, and I am confused because in between every bit of story, there's just such a substantial amount of guff that I don't, and I'm not doing all of it. I am skipping bits and I'm not doing mini games and I'm not doing certain things, but I just feel like even in the side quests, you still seem to be doing a lot of nonsense. Mm. And then like, it's kind of constantly like, yeah, well, we're in a hurry too, is what they'll say to a character. And then I'm like, well, I'm not. We've just flown across the world back to where we started.
You wanted to
do this side
learn
rubbish.
A brand new mini game just to pick mushrooms?
I don't.
Yes.
This is the only point in the game where you're going to pick mushrooms.
Yeah,
and it's a completely unique combination of buttons that you've got to learn to pick mushrooms. Just for this one thing, that's it.
Yeah, I don't just feel like it's overstaying its welcome a little bit now. And I know that maybe it's my fault because I am doing the side stuff, but I feel as though I'm not giving the game a fair like shot if I'm just beelining the story and not doing any of the additional content. Like, I feel like I'm missing out on stuff, but also like, it's just too much.
It's
now.
Not an excuse on the game's part. If you're starting to feel like, oh, it's outstaying its welcome, it's not enough to say, oh, well, it's because you're doing all the side stuff. Like, that's not, you know, that's just game content, though. I'm doing all of the game, it's too much.
There's been other games where, like, I've done all of the side stuff and I've not felt, like, bogged down by it.
Well, exactly,
I know that there's, like, games like that you've played that I, like, Cyberpunk, I did basically everything in that game. And I enjoyed everything and it felt like everything was paced well because there was never a point where I was like, the world is about to end right now. Everything was like, this is happening, but it's, you know, you can stop it at whenever you feel like it, but it's not going to immediately end the world. Whereas right now, and this happens with some other games as well, when they're like, you're the only one that can stop this, save the world. And then they present you with like an additional 10 hours of content and you're just like, man, I feel like I'm not saving the world right now. I feel like I'm faffing about. But yeah, there has been other games where they've done this and there's been additional content and side stuff that hasn't felt as bloated and just chock full. And I have this acute awareness that I'm going to finish the game and I'm still not going to finish the story because I know that there's a third one coming. And I know that I'm like going to get to the end of this game and still feel like, oh man, there's more coming in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
Which I didn't feel with the first one. The first one, I was like, man, I can't wait for the next one. Whereas now I'm getting to the point where I'm like, this and more. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm hoping that it'll make up for it when I get towards the end of it. Ben is like begging me to finish it because he wants to talk to me about it.
I do.
But I've been faffing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it's not faffing, it's all right. Is it? Again.
Maybe this weekend.
The game is presented
maybe this
to
weekend.
You.
Maybe. But I've only played 60 hours, which I thought was a lot, but my boyfriend's played 90 hours and he's still at the same point as me, so I don't know how he's what he's been faffing about doing. But
you're just, you know, built different.
Yeah.
Doing it in one.
Yeah. What you been playing, Ben?
Well, I went from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and I thought, what's the next best thing? And the answer to that, of course, is South Park Snow Day.
Yes.
Which I have now finished and was just fine. Not even good, I would say.
Yeah.
I was correct in my assumption in that there are basically five missions, and that's the game.
Cool.
You can run them on different difficulties. When you finish, you get access to like some modifiers to make it even harder. But it got pretty tough at certain points. I was playing it in two-player co-op with two bots, and those bots are awful, especially when it gets a bit tougher.
Mm.
There's, you know, you've got this whole skill tree that you can exchange your dark matter for, but one playthrough maybe unlocked an eighth of the entire thing, and it only gets exponentially more expensive the further down you go. So it's like, who is going to be putting this much time into it? It just doesn't feel like it's built correctly,
right?
In terms of wanting to not only have you keep playing, but also incentivize it, because you'd have to do several missions, I think, in order to get enough dark matter to even do the next upgrade, let alone all of them. So I don't really know. There's not enough customization options. You know, you don't unlock any new weapons or anything. You've still just got three of each thing. And so I don't know. I don't know what the long-term goal is there, but it's done. It's finished. There was another little bit of actual South Park animation at the end to bookend the game. But yeah, this one really is only for a very specific crowd. And even then, you have been warned. It's not great. I played a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront 2 from the Collector's Collection.
I saw it updated last night.
Oh.
Well, not last night. I mean, I turned my console on yesterday to watch something and I saw that there was an update, but it probably happened a while ago.
I don't know what it did because I can't say that I noticed anything particularly profound that's changed. But I started playing through some of the like campaign. Rise of the Empire or whatever it's called. And I was doing that in split screen. And that was pretty fun. Did a space mission. It's been a long time since I've done a space mission. Found the objectives a little confusing at times because the entire ship was shielded. Like, I don't know how to get the shield down. I'm not entirely sure how to do that. So that was a bit of bashing my head against the wall. But it's definitely better than Battlefront 1. And I will just chip away at that from time to time, I think. DC Universe Online, that's an MMO. That's an MMO that I played on PlayStation 3 and I paid for a membership because it's free to play. But if you pay for the membership, you get trophies. So I did that back in the day.
Yeah.
And you have to like fully level up a character under each mentor on the goodie and baddie side. So I did that. I've got six characters. And then when it launched on PS4, I bought like 1 month's membership and then all the trophies popped at once. And I've been waiting because I knew that they were going to release it on PS5 eventually. And that happened. Started up. I was ready to, you know, drop a fiver or whatever to get my free platinum trophy. And all the trophies just popped anyway.
Nice.
So I didn't even have to pay for a subscription. So thanks for that. That studio has recently suffered layoffs as well. So I hope they're
Did you play it or did you just want
Just loaded into the characters. Yeah, as soon as because I've been following them on Twitter for ages.
Right.
Because I knew that they were working on it. And I was like, one day they're just going to say, it's out and I will download it. Get my trophies, unfollow them, and it's over.
If they had still had the thing where you have to subscribe, would you have paid £5 for a platinum trophy?
Yeah, that was my intention.
How much would you pay for a platinum trophy?
And what's your limit?
I mean, probably in that context, 1 month subscription, whatever that would cost, sub £10 for sure.
Your brain is a mystical place.
It's special, isn't it? Even though I've now sworn off going for platinum trophies.
Have you?
Quite as voraciously.
Oh. Right.
Because I'm nearly at 300. 300? Yes. I'm nearly at 300 platinum trophies. And a lot of them are
And
I've, what?
Whoa! Oh no, Ben. I swore. Can someone make a note of that timestamp?
Yeah,
didn't it? It just rolled off the tongue. See, proving my point. A lot of them are flip. They're dreadful. And I'm trying to get a better relationship with games where I don't ruin them for myself by playing them for way too long.
Yeah.
And I want to have a more healthy relationship. So like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, a few years ago, I would have come hell or high water. I would have gotten that platinum. I'm done. I've finished it. I did as much as I could along the way, but I'm not interested in going back and getting that platinum trophy. I'm not interested anymore. And there will be times where I boot up DC Universe Online and get some free trophies.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try and grow as a gamer and not put myself through as much guff as I have in the past.
Maybe what you should do is hit 300 and then specifically avoid getting
ever
any more.
Never, ever again. Yeah. Well, then sometimes I'll play a game like Dark Forces, which just gives you a platinum for finishing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
fine. You have to not finish it.
Yeah.
No, I just have to stop right before the end. Outside of that, I hopped back into Persona 4 Golden. I'm so close to the end of that game that loads of stuff came out and I just haven't had a chance to play more. So I played through a bit more of it last night. I have jumped straight into Final Fantasy VII, the original one, the remaster, and I'm loving it, having a great time playing with all the cheats on just because I want to play. I've got out of Midgar now and I basically just want to play it as far as Rebirth goes up to and then leave it there. And when I started it up and went to like create a new save file, my last save file was from mid-2020. So it would have been from when Remake Part 1 came out when I did exactly the same thing.
Stopped. Yeah.
So, I'm really enjoying that, but I'm going to try and finish Persona 4 Golden first and then go back to Final Fantasy 7. And that's it. That's what I've been playing.
We recorded early last week, didn't we? Because we were going away.
We did.
I did play Dragon's Dogma on Wednesday night.
I was going to ask you about it anymore.
So playing more of that. And I feel slightly redeemed because today I've seen two people, creator friends on Twitter, say, wow, that game, it sure sort of punishes the player intentionally, doesn't it? It really, it's, what was the word someone used? I can't remember what it was, but it was like basically saying, yeah, they sort of, you get the feeling they kind of hate the player a little bit, but, you know, they also have made what is otherwise quite a good game. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I feel too. Mm. But, you know, I'm going to keep playing it.
Are you enjoying it anymore?
Probably not anymore, but certainly not less. Like, I'm happy to keep playing, which is, at the moment, that's enough. You know, but we'll see. Yeah, I do think that, like, maybe when my player gets better, I might be able to enjoy it a bit more. And also, if they have now added the functionality to start a new game, I might actually do that because I've only put a few hours into it and I kind of regret some of the decisions I made early on. But what a world we're living in where I'm sitting here saying, oh, if it's now been made possible to restart the game, imagine. I'm going to do that. Wow, how exciting.
What a treat.
So we'll see. Yeah.
Ben, will you please turn the heating off?
Yes. Are we at hot capacity?
I am. I also have a hot water bottle on my lap, so I'm extra wham. I'll read the question too while you're doing that, if you'd like.
Please do.
Question two comes from Sarah Keys. A recent
Reuters. I think it's spelled wrong.
Report actually. Has revealed that the revenue growth in the gaming industry has fallen to pre-pandemic levels and the average playtime has fallen by 26% since 2021. Why do you think this is, and do you think it will last? So for a bit of context, here's the bit from the article. Personal computing and console gaming revenue growth is expected to remain below pre-pandemic levels through 2026 as gamers record fewer hours of playtime, according to research firm Newzoo. The market is expected to grow 2.7% from 2023 end to 2026, below the 7.2% growth rate from 2015 to 2021, according to the report. Gamers have been recording fewer hours of play, with the average quarterly playtime falling 26% from 2021 to 2023. The trend is expected to continue this year due to weaker gaming release schedules, with playtime falling around 10% in January. Slower player growth rates will impact the industry's capacity to expand the pie via net organic growth, Newzoo said. Japan's Sony Group Open has said, what? Why does it say opens new tab? Anyway, had said in February, it does not expect to release any new major franchise titles to God of War and Marvel Spider-Man in the coming fiscal year. Mm. Peter, why do you think it is that we're playing the less time?
Well, that people play the less time.
You go have a lie down.
Well, the article alludes to the fact that it's partly due to a more sporadic release schedule across the industry. I think that's one thing.
For God's sake, woman.
It's not going well, is it, over there? So fewer games, seemingly, are coming out. It's difficult because I think we often share opinions on certain things in the gaming world, such as, you know, we don't like live service games or, you know.
Don't do that. Don't have an opinion.
Whoa. No, that's a bad idea. No,
he's a boy.
So. Oh, that's true.
I don't mean that we share our opinions with the audience. I mean, we share an opinion. Yeah. And one of those opinions that we share, generally speaking, is that, flipping heck, games are like long and big and long now. Yeah. And, you know, it takes a lot of time to get through them all. And I do wonder if there's an element of people almost, because games are so huge, they're actually playing less because they're kind of intimidated by them and they're perhaps gravitating towards games that have a lower playtime than a larger one.
And they're expensive.
And they're expensive as well. Yeah, that's certainly a reason. People just have fewer games, full stop. But literally just before we started doing the podcast today, Ninja Theory via IGN have said recently that they've basically talked up the idea of shorter games, which is good. And I've got a quote here from that article by IGN, which comes from Ninja Theory. I'm really pleased to see that there's lots of people that actually enjoy a shorter experience, something that they can sit down on a whatever Friday night, stick their headphones on, turn the lights off, and kind of sink into an experience. And players who don't necessarily want something that is 50 hours long, 100 hours long. So it's as long as it needs to be. And I'm one of those people. I like shorter games. I think there's a lot of pressure on people's time these days. And I think our fans, from what we hear from them, they enjoy a shorter game where our intention is that every step of that journey is meaningful and there's an audience of people that want games that are focused. Thanks, Ninja Theory.
Thanks, Ninja Theory.
Thanks, Ninja Theory.
I agree. I don't know if that is contributing to this statistic, but I would like to think that it is, and that it will be picked up on by the people who make these games. And they might think, hey, if we want, you know, 100 hours played out of this individual this year, why don't we make like 4 games that are like, you know, 25 hours long, rather than 1 game that's 100 hours long? Mm-hmm. Just an idea. You can pay me later.
You release one every year for all 4 of the years of development that it would normally take.
Exactly.
That's not logistically how it works. But
you know, that's Creed strategy.
Yeah. Until everyone gets sick of it.
Yeah.
But you know, I think maybe that is something that contributes to it. Perhaps the rise of the live service game. Again, I'm basing that off the fact that we don't like them, and so it makes me feel like there's a portion of the game audience out there that's feeling like, oh, there aren't as many games for me to play now because half of them are flipping live service and I don't want to play them. But you know, it's, we would need a much larger sample size to make some of these conclusions.
Mm-hmm. I think that including 2020 and 2021 in the stats makes it a bit skew-iff.
Yeah.
Because we were all working from home during the pandemic, and we were going from the minute the clock ticks to 5 p.m., it's gaming time and we can't go anywhere, so we'll sit in our house and we'll play games, and we can't see our friends, so we'll all sit together and play games. So I think that putting the 2020 and 2021 stats in this article is slightly skewing it. Like, we know why they're so big in those years, because no one could do anything else.
I did see someone on Reddit say, who'd have thought that people would play less games once they're allowed outside?
Yeah.
Which is,
or also like made to go back to the office.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, yeah, maybe you only work 40 hours a week, but also you got to factor in commuting time and the fact that you're out from early in the morning, so you're going to bed earlier on or whatever. But yeah, the fact of the matter is that games are too long now, they're too expensive, and people are having to, during this cozy lives, having to make choices between leisure and necessity. And I think that some people would rather pay for one game and potentially, like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, pay for that game, and then it will last them a good month or so, if not longer, because of the length of the game. So they'll play it in short bursts over the course of a month. Whereas, like Peter said, maybe a shorter game for less money, people might periodically invest in smaller games for less money and then spend less time playing them. I think the grand scheme of things is things are too expensive now. People haven't got the money for them. We've got too much to do. We haven't got the time to play these games anymore. Not as much as we did, I think. And also, a lot of the gamers that play games now, back in 2015, were potentially teenagers, if not early 20s, late teens, and are now full-grown adults who have jobs and families and work-life balance, and that affects things as well. Obviously, there's still going to be the younger gamers, but this breed of gamer who were really, you know, playing lots and lots of hours of games in 2015, they've had to play less now because they are adults and they have other things going on. So I think that, like, it's a cultural thing. Like, maybe teenagers aren't playing as many games. Maybe the games they're playing are live service, short burst, play a round of Fortnite. It takes, how long does a round of Fortnite take? 15, 20 minutes? And then, you know,
Move on.
It's tea time.
Yeah, TikTok time.
Homework.
TikTok time. Yeah, I think there's lots of ways that the culture has shifted in, like, the world that affects why maybe the people who were playing lots of games like 10 years ago, their version of them now is not playing as many games. But yeah, I think that cost and, like, the current state of the world is probably affecting it quite significantly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting one because it sort of flies in the face of what we have seen from other reports recently, and that, hey, we're making just as much money as we were before. You know, we've got just as many people playing games as we had before. That's certainly a line that I've towed on this podcast before with answering, previous questions. Mm. But, I mean, this, you can't deny that it makes total sense, especially including the data from being in lockdowns and stuff like that. Purely, that is the reason. Is because, you know, if you want to know why, is because people get to go outside now and they have more free time. That's it. Games are more expensive. I do think that potentially we're hitting a bit of a reckoning in the games industry, not just in terms of all the layoffs and stuff, but also another article I saw recently, citation needed, I'll see if I can find it and put it in the link dump, that people were playing more older games than the new game. Well, as in, like, there's not more people playing old games than new games, but like more and more people are returning to older games rather than playing newer stuff. So I think that there's maybe increasingly going to be a bit of a disconnect between what publishers want and what players want. And especially when we see just the boneheaded decisions from boards and shareholders and stuff, like just taking all the wrong lessons, like Warner Brothers recently, where they said Hogwarts Legacy, a single player RPG, was an unbelievable earner for them. And Suicide Squad and Gotham Knights, not live service games, but certainly service type games, or were intended that way and then changed direction at the last minute, lost them a lot of money. So what we're going to do is double down on live service games. That's the lesson they took from that. That doesn't make any bloody sense at all.
Yeah.
And it takes a huge amount of time for these mega corporations to change course, you know, to turn the ship around. And these games are years and years in development. And there's a good chance that if they're still saying that they want to do live service games, we're guaranteed live service games from Warner Brothers that potentially nobody wants and also aren't very good for at least the next 10 years, which is mad. Now is the time to stop doing this and stop chasing trends as well.
I really hope that what they do next, not that I support the idea generally, but to demonstrate the way that we feel about things, if they released a Harry Potter live service game and it tanked because it's a live service game and people don't necessarily want to play that, don't know if it's likely that it would tank, but you know, that would be really nice because that would provide them with two quite clear data points. They couldn't just say, oh, the reason Hogwarts Legacy did really well is because it's Harry Potter, but actually what people really want is live service games, you know. You know, if you had two Harry Potter games and the single player RPG did really well and the live service one did really badly, can you look at that data and
I think
if you're
still,
Warner Brothers,
they'd still take the
they
wrong
would
lesson.
Somehow say, oh well, it's only because we released it around the time of this other game that came out.
Or I also think that like people play older games because older games are more secure. People are more willing to go back and, you know, pick up a PlayStation 2 game and play a PlayStation 2 game because that cannot be taken off you after a year, which I think is also a similar issue in that games people are sinking a lot of time into eventually disappear from being able to play. And I know people might know about this, the Accursed Farms, the Crew lawsuit. All he's asking for is just them to release something when they shut their servers down, which means that players can continue the games to be playable. And I think that also is contributing to it in that people are less willing to sink their time into a game because there's this acute awareness in the back of people's minds that, oh, well, after a year, it's going to be shut down. Yeah. But there was that dodgeball game. Do you remember that?
Knockout City.
Yeah. Which recently, like, that's not that old of a game. Maybe 2 years, maybe just a year. I'm not sure. Yeah. They have shut down their servers now. However, they did release a file, which meant that people can start up their own servers. But the fact that that game only lasted a year, why would anyone pay for that? Why would anyone sink time into it if after a year it disappears and you can never guarantee that they're going to actually release something that you can continue to play it?
And the other thing about older games as well, whether you're talking, you know, back to something like the PS2 or even like early PS5 or late PS4 games, is they might have been fixed now. When they came out, they were broken, probably, in all likelihood. And now enough time has passed, 6 months, 12 months, a couple of years, and some of those games that aren't super old, but a bit older than a new release, will be more stable and functional than when it first came out. So that's another thing, another reason to play something older, is it might be actually functioning at this point.
Absolutely. Now, I can't speak for obviously everyone who likes or you know, is choosing to play older stuff or not play as many things these days. Again, I think the main reason is that a lot of people got into gaming and now they have other things or maybe better things to be doing.
Yeah.
But live service games for me, at least, and we are getting a little off topic, but I do think it's kind of relevant. Live service games for me, I know there is, the whole point is that you're making some sort of progress and there's a progression system to keep you coming back. But I feel like I am spending time when I'm doing a live service game. Mm. Whereas if I'm playing a more traditional game, I'm getting an experience.
Yeah.
And I much prefer to spend my time enjoying a story or like, you know, working my way through a piece of fiction than I would actually just sort of almost like you spend 5 hours in Warzone and you've played Warzone for 5 hours. And, you know, you may enjoy that and that's absolutely fine. But I do wonder if maybe that is a point that people are reaching with the current modern crop of games, is that they don't really feel like they're getting the same experiences they did in older titles, where it was just you play through it and that's it. It's a product. Whereas live service never ends and you're never going to finish it. It's just going to be a thing that you do with your time. And that's okay if you like that. And it's an infinite money pit for publishers and developers if they manage to get one that hits. But it is like a maybe a single figure success rate in that genre. And I don't know why they're still doing it. It's baffling to me. So while that's pure conjecture with no data to back it up whatsoever, I wouldn't be surprised if that's also playing a factor as well in fewer people playing games now. But there we are. What do you think? Let us know. But now we've got to go to something a little bit strange.
A little bit peculiar, perhaps.
Stop the presses. It's weird news.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can submit weird video game news to us on the relevant social media platform under the post that goes out on a Tuesday. However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at the appropriate tier, and become a podcast producer just like
Christopher Thompson's Thumbs.
Yeah. G.Y. Goliath.
Nexus Polaris.
Nicole Hansen.
Kyle Gary.
Andy Scott.
Blake Thomas.
I'm Way Too High.
Shaman Nomo.
Great Giggity.
Meldy L. Bonet.
Katie Garrett.
Gabrielle Philipping.
Potato Shack 99.
Eric Sue.
And Big Money Bobby Vegas.
Thank you so much to everyone who submitted weird news. And a special thank you to the person on Facebook who said, Why don't you do some...
Find it yourself.
Research. He did in like broken English. He can't even type properly. You're an idiot, basically. Just ask him some weird news. Have you seen any?
We put it on
YouTube once. Yeah, and that was basically the vibe. It's like, you find it. And I'm like, okay, all right. Not really the vibe.
We used to, but it's just a way for...
It's just a way for you to get involved and you get a shout out. And I mean,
I was hoping that guy was
people
joking.
People be crazy.
I don't think so. I think Facebook... It's not a good place. Because social media, bad.
Bad.
Why don't you do your own investigation or something?
That was investigation. Is like, what are you talking about? Anyway, it hasn't bothered me at all, as you can tell. I just don't like social media. So what have you got, Peter?
I've got a news.
And did you find it yourself? Because if not,
did you do your own investigation?
No, I didn't do my own investigation. I got Jonathan Wong to do it for me.
Oh, great job, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jonathan.
I'm not sure if you're a top fan, but you are in my eyes. This is from comicbook.com, and it's written by Mark Duchon. Palworld's April Fool's Day prank is a fake game players actually want, right?
What?
Okay. I was looking for where the comma was, and there isn't one. Palworld's April Fool's Day prank is a fake game players actually want.
Yes.
There we go.
You did it.
Palworld revealed a dating sim trailer, and now people actually want to play.
Oh, God. Okay.
One of the biggest problems with April Fool's Day is that oftentimes developers and publishers will tease a fake game or mode that people would genuinely like to play. That's exactly what happened with Pocket Pair's April Fool's Day prank for Palworld, which is a dating sim featuring pals and characters from the popular game. Pocket Pair actually went above and beyond for this prank, creating a whole trailer lasting more than a minute and a half, titled Palworld More Than Just Pals. The trailer has gotten more than 150,000 views on YouTube and a lot of praise from fans. The trailer for this fake Palworld game can be found below, and it is embedded. And here is some, I mean, there's all sorts of crap on here on the page, but there we go. That's what it looks like.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've chosen the sexiest pals.
Yeah, they have. I mean, that one has boobs.
Indeed. It
do. Does it? It does. Wow.
Yeah.
In the fake game, Catrus and Chile or Fish are shown as two of the pals a player could potentially date. Ooh. Those two are somewhat surprising choices, but the one that makes the most sense is Lavender, a pal that has gotten a lot of attention since the game's launch
the
earlier
this
year.
The one with boobs.
Is that the one that was all over?
We did a weird news
34.
About it. Yeah.
According to the game's pal deck entry, where it has the assigned number 69, Lavender is seeking a night of love, etc. They did a fake pal world game where you can date the pals.
That's fun. That's weird. But
it's a joke. It's not real.
It's weird. I thought
it sponsored this podcast.
the fake game that they would have that they were going to make is like a turn based RPG. They just do Pokemon.
With a baseball cap and his friend has a pan.
He's called like Ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ish ketchup.
Yeah. I have some weird news. It was submitted by Samuel Benson on Facebook and at Aaron Pretelsky on Twitter. Comes from The Gamer Ant by Eric Law. Something is wrong with the Final Fantasy XIV profanity filter on Xbox. Oh. Final Fantasy XIV is finally available on Xbox, but problems with the console's automatic word filter led to some bizarre and frustrating censorship. The profanity filter for the Xbox client of Final Fantasy XIV is going a bit overboard, censoring bizarre phrases and letter combinations in its chat interface, which is causing parts of otherwise innocuous words to be censored, even if they are across multiple words or a part of automatically generated emote text in Final Fantasy XIV. After years of waiting, Final Fantasy XIV has finally been made available on Xbox Series. Though it took more than a decade, the critically acclaimed MMORPG has thrown wide the gates to a whole new community of players in doing so. However, it seems these Xbox Final Fantasy fans are encountering some big problems on the new platform. The automated Xbox profanity filter is falsely flagging parts of words in Final Fantasy XIV, replacing them with a series of question marks instead of sequences of letters like F up, STD, and other curses, slurs, and other words Xbox deems inappropriate are being censored in innocent phrases. Even within system-generated emote text or across multiple words, yourself up and night, harvest, dance, and even class are among the affected phrases, all of which appear in the story of Final Fantasy XIV. Yeah.
What's in night?
Shouldn't
have asked.
Harvest dance is STD, even though it's across two words.
Type in bloody harvest dance.
It's not, it's in the text of the thing.
Naughty.
But yeah, so it's The Final Fantasy XIV has its own word filter that can be turned on or off, but the automated Xbox profanity system cannot be fully disabled. This not only leads to frustrating gaps in communication as players are forced to figure out what erroneously censored words are, but also breaks immersion in the process. It is possible Xbox could fix its overactive profanity filter in the MMO in the future, but it has shown no indication of doing so yet. So the fans will have to deal with it indefinitely. Mm. So yeah, it's the whole thing. And apparently also some Final Fantasy XIV players have had their Xbox accounts banned for trying to recruit others to their free companies after being falsely accused of solicitation. Like the profanity filter, these bans are on Microsoft's hands. So Final Fantasy XIV can do little about it. However, Microsoft can iron out the bump in the road should they wish to. So yeah.
Did you have this on your school computers? Mm-hmm. Where if we typed like the word analysis, it would suddenly flash up on screen, screenshot captured and sent to administrators.
No,
for typing the word anal,
Jesus, no,
or Scunthorpe or whatever.
No, you know,
if it was within a if it was in within a word and you were like typing stuff,
wow,
it would send screenshots to the Nazi man
who
ruled the computers with an iron fist.
Yeah. Really?
He used to be in the army. He was a tank commander. And got held hostage in Turkey
army?
Once.
Which army? Wow.
The British.
All right, not the one that you just said.
No.
No, no.
No, but he was that kind of guy. Right. He was anally retentive.
You can't write that in
no,
it.
No, sorry,
get
analysis.
Screenshotted.
Can't say that at all.
Well, Kieran's told me about the Xbox like issue with names, because one of his friends has I can't remember what her name was, but her name has a word in it, which is a swear word in a foreign language, and she couldn't have her name as her handle because it was like, you are trying to put a profanity in your name. And she's like, it's just my name. Like, what
Do
are you,
you
talking
have an
about?
Issue with that Peter Austin?
I couldn't be that Peter Austin for a while on PlayStation. And then one day I just could. I don't know exactly what it is, what's wrong with it. But I couldn't have it.
Mm. No, we didn't have nearly as much censorship in our school systems. I managed to sneak a Game Boy emulator and a ROM of Pokemon Red like into the system files, and I told a few people where it was, and for like a week you could play Pokemon on the school computers, and then it was
like on the network, so you could play it from any
then he found it. He got rid of it, but it wasn't never found me. Probably very easy to trace though, because it would have said, but they don't care, it was harmless,
created by user
that's me. Right, my weird news. That's on my phone, isn't it? It's not on the piece of paper, idiot. This comes from Cameron Keywood, and it's from The Gamer, written by Josh Colson. Mass Effect's merch store now has a Blasto body pillowcase.
Oh,
cool.
Do you want to see Blasto? The sexiest one.
Oh, my goodness. Tentacles.
Oh, yeah, well, it's not that surprising, is it?
It's just like a squid thing that floats. The wait for a new Mass Effect. Oh, this is just bollocks, isn't it? Thankfully, Blasto is here to dry your tears and give you big hug via his new body pillowcase. Okay, Blasto won't be able to wrap his tentacles around you, but you will be able to hug him thanks to the latest drop on BioWare's official Mass Effect store. 54 inches long, when a pillow or of similar length is inside it, the Blasto pillowcase will provide you with the best opportunity you'll ever have.
Pillow comes separately.
54 inches long when a pillow... So it's as long as the pillow. What a stupid thing to say. 54 inches long when a 54-inch pillow is inside
Presumably
it.
Presumably it's still 54 inches long even without a pillow inside of it.
Yeah.
You just can't hug it.
Provide you with the best opportunity you'll ever have to be one of the lovers in every port the Hanar claims to have. Each side of the pillowcase has a different image of Blasto. The best one, being a print that makes the Hanar look like he's making a heart symbol with his tentacles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at that one. That's
cute.
Yeah, that's...
There's not one where he's, like, splayed out with his tentacles above his head.
No.
They missed a trick without, you know, to not have actual appendages coming off. Like,
yeah, that's what I thought.
Cost too much money.
A squid plushie.
The pillowcase has a zip to keep your pillow inside.
Cool.
Wow.
But it doesn't come with an actual pillow. You will need to provide an appropriately sized pillow. How big?
54 inches.
Yourself. Blasto's pillowcase is available through the BioWare store for $35 at the link in the box below. It's only available for pre-order at the moment, but the pillowcases will ship in May, so not long to wait. This is an advert.
In gay.
Feels like an sorry?
It will ship in gay.
It ships in gay, yes. Gay June, July. So that's that. I find it astonishing that BioWare and EA are still managing to milk the Mass Effect license, yeah, having not impressive. Produced a good or, well, not produced a Mass Effect game in 6 years, longer than
I
that
I bought
now.
Some Mass Effect merch. Longer.
Yes.
In December. I bought a cool, yeah, like, tiki mug of Gary
Vicarian. Gary, yes. Gary. The blue man. Well, you saw blue.
Yeah.
The Turian.
I saw one of those at Insomnia.
Did you?
Yeah.
A Turian.
A blue man, yeah.
Oh.
With the weird.
Oh, with the mandibles.
Yeah.
Cool.
With the funny mouth.
Did he ask for a photo with Pikmin?
No. I don't think Pikmin was there.
No. Where did she go? I haven't seen her for a while.
Who is she? Picking up some heavy stuff.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
There we are. That was weird news. Weird, wasn't it? Thank you so much to everyone who submitted some weird news. It's time now. We'll do our own investigation next time. It's time now for the big discussion. Big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes courtesy of Jimmy West. Hey, Bap.
Hi.
Hello.
This question is coming fresh out of the oven. Gamer Ant is reporting that Sony, in all caps, has filed for a new handheld console patent that would potentially run PS4 and even PS5 games styled similarly to a Steam Deck. The article, which I will link here, does admit that the console is not guaranteed to be followed through with, but it did have me curious to see what you think of the potential for something like this. We all know Sony's poor history with handhelds, support, not necessarily quality, as well as peripherals as a whole, but if they really did put effort into this, could they finally pry Nintendo's firm grip away from the control of the handheld market? I, for one, would love to have a handheld to play modern PlayStation games. I'd love to hear what you think. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Jimmy. I've got a write-up here from the Gamer Ant, written by Raul Landaverde. Great
cool
name.
Name.
Great name.
A newly published patent from Sony may support rumors and speculation of a new PlayStation handheld device in development. Unlike the PlayStation Portal, Sony references the PlayStation Vita, PlayStation Portable, and PSP Go as predecessors for the new patent. This past February, tech YouTuber and insider Moore's Law is Dead released a video that claimed Sony is working on a new handheld gaming device. The video explains that AMD was already paid by Sony to produce the new handheld system, but it's supposedly in the very early stages of production. The rumor also suggested that the handheld may run PS4 games and select PS5 games via a patch, functioning similarly to Valve's Steam Deck. Although it's possible that the new handheld may not actually be released, a new patent suggests that Sony is going ahead with plans that were stated in the Moore's Law is Dead video. Sony's new patent aims to streamline the process of switching from playing a game on a mobile gaming device to playing it on a console, with cloud gaming being a key element. Cloud gaming is not currently supported on the PlayStation Portal device, and the patent specifically notes that Sony's previous gaming handhelds, such as the PSP, provides a means of traditional gaming that players enjoy. However, the handheld/mobile gaming experience is not exactly the same as home console gaming due to lower graphical fidelity and less dynamic controls. To address this issue for gamers, the patent seemingly shows a new handheld from Sony that's capable of using cloud gaming features with improved input and response time. The full article has images of the patent and goes on to clarify a couple of details. But what do you think, Peter? How much?
Oh,
that's
God.
That's a good question.
How much? Partly depends what it does, you know? If it is going to be able to run older stuff, don't know, does that add value to it? If it's going to, is it going to have its own games, you know, like PSP? Do you have to just buy the game for this handheld? Or is it, you if you own something digitally, can you just play it on this handheld? Don't know. Depends what they do. But I mean, I've not bought a handheld in a long time. I don't even know what they go for. What's a Switch worth?
Switch is like 200 or something.
300.
Yeah. What's the Steam Deck on?
500.
Because it's basically just a little PC, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it is costly.
And it's been a while since we've had other than those two.
How much was the PlayStation Portal? I'll Google it.
PlayStation Portal, I think, was like $250, say. And now scalpers have them all and can't sell them. So.
Yeah, true. So, I mean, yeah, the first figure that came into my head was some 200 and something.
$199.
Is it?
Or from Curry's, $369. Oh, it comes with the headphones.
It comes with headphones.
Yeah,
right.
$199 for the PlayStation Portal.
Yeah. What about you? How much?
I mean, if I if it looked kick ass.
Oh, the Steam Deck is the OLED version is £700.
Okay.
But the regular version is £410.
I don't think, I mean, again, it's going to be a really specialist piece of equipment because if they want to make, this is all theoretical, obviously. Patents are patents. We've spoken about patents before, as the article says, as Jimmy says, may not happen. Mm. But it sounds like they're actually producing at least a few to try them out if the AMD's been signed on. But if they want to actually make a handheld that is affordable for consumers, then it won't be able to run PS5 games.
No,
and it, not if it's and affordable. It almost probably won't be able to run PS4 games either. We're looking at sort of a unique system that maybe has the power of somewhere between a PS3 and a PS4 that won't run contemporary games, runs its own proprietary stuff, like you were saying, Peter, like it has PSP games, and then maybe has some backwards compatibility with older stuff or something like that. If they are actually going to go the Steam Deck route, and it's basically, yes, you can, through a combination of the hardware in the device itself and streaming, cloud gaming, you can play Spider-Man 2 on it, then you're going to be looking at about £500, mm-hmm. I think. You're going to be looking at and at that point, it becomes a very specialist piece of equipment, much like the PS5 Pro that's heavily rumored, much like the PlayStation Portal, much like the PlayStation VR 2. And Sony recently hasn't had the most success in those areas. So is it worth pouring all that money in where potentially you're not going to have a huge... Like the prospects are very appealing, I imagine, to a lot of people, but the price is really just going to kill it dead.
Yeah.
Even though it's justifiable.
I think they would be silly to just create a device that purely cloud games. What am I trying to say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that they've already had their fair share of attempts at a device that will just run from your PlayStation 5. Like the PlayStation Portal, is... Yeah, fine, but mm-hmm. nobody bought it because there's already other ways to play it. You play remote play not on your PlayStation Portal.
I do it on my iPad then connect a DualSense to
my iPad. Exactly. And my boyfriend this week has been playing Final Fantasy VII on his Steam Deck by using a bit of software that allows him to do remote play to his Steam Deck.
Software.
Don't ask me what it is. I don't know. But I think there's so many ways that people can already stream from their PlayStation that they would be silly to create another device where that's all you can do. I think that if they are going to do this, they need to commit to it and say, this is a device that will run your PlayStation 5 games. It runs them better on cloud gaming, but you can install some games onto it and it will run them. There's loads of PC games that are Steam Deck compatible. And if they commit to making something like the Steam Deck that is powerful enough to run PlayStation 5 or 4 games on it, then I think they might be in for a hit with it. Because I think that that's something that maybe potentially I would definitely give a go. Mm-hmm. I think my boyfriend would, who travels for work, would almost certainly want something like that. And I think it would open them up to lots more players who don't necessarily want to buy a PlayStation 5 Pro, whatever it is, it's maybe coming out, for £600 and instead wants to buy a little device for £500, maybe £600, maybe depends how much they put into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think if they were to go that route and create a device that actually runs games from their backlog, then I think that they could potentially have something that people might actually finally spend some money on. Because everything they bought out so far, the reason people haven't played it is, or haven't bought them, like the PlayStation VR 2, is because on paper there's not that many games for them. There's not that many impressive games for them. The barrier for a lot of people to get into VR is the fact that they don't think there's any games that they're interested in. And PlayStation VR 2 didn't do anything to dismay those concerns about VR. So... yeah, I think that they should commit to it. If they're going to do it, I'd like to see them commit to making a device that will run console games.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I wouldn't want it to be streaming only, cloud gaming only, because I think partly, like with a handheld, you know, you want it to be something that you can play on the go and play anywhere. You know, you like to you've played on the beach before, haven't you, Ben?
I have.
With handheld. consoles. And I know we're living in a modern world now, and there is a lot of good Wi-Fi and a lot of good signal around. But I still think we've still got some way to go. I mean, I remember years and years ago, I tried PlayStation Now back on PS4, and at the time it was kind of an early-ish concept then, and I was not impressed with the latency. Gave it some years, and only a couple of months ago, I tried, or less than that, I tried to play one of the Tekken games on PlayStation. It was only available remotely. So I gave that a go, and I still noticed a bit of a slight input delay. And I'm sitting there like wired into my home internet. So I still think we've got some way to go for reliable cloud gaming. And, you know, with something that is portable, by definition, you're probably going to be on, at least on some occasions, somewhere where there is not internet or not good internet. So I would say that it needs to have at least some kind of native capacity to play games as well.
If they just go streaming as well, then they might as well just patch the portal.
Well, exactly. What would be the difference?
Yeah, and also, I mean, it would, depending on how they do it, I think the worst thing that they could do for this is have it be dependent on a home PS5. Mm-hmm. Because then immediately you're doubling the investment required. Because that's an issue that people have with the VR as well. And especially with the portal, obviously just purely exists for remote play. And it's very good at what it does by all accounts. But again, that's a niche market. And if you want to pay for quality, you know, it's seemingly a quality device, but it is still costly. And that's another 200 quid on top of the cost of a PlayStation 5. I personally would, if they do have it all rammed into a unit, it's going to be quite chunky. I think they would really be missing a trick if they didn't have it have some sort of HDMI out. Mm-hmm. So you could use it as a little hub console, sort of like a PlayStation 5 half step almost. And I just wonder if there's a solution. Maybe this is what they're trying to work on, where, because games are bloody massive, and I know that's the case on PC as well, and obviously the Steam Deck is facing these issues or has overcome these issues itself. But if you've got like the 150 gigabyte Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, for example, is there a way that you only, if it's, as the article said, patched to support, let's call it PSP2, right? Mm-hmm. If it's patched to support PSP2, then you download a fraction of that data and the rest comes via cloud. I don't know how they'd work that out, but hopefully enough of the fundamental systems are in there so that you wouldn't experience input delay, but some of the less important data is being streamed to you as you play.
Yeah. Like things, like when things are ready to play when you're installing them. Yeah, exactly. Still like more to
download. Yeah, you can look like at the menu and then it's like, get what? You're playing it.
Yeah.
Like the cone of vision from, massively simplifying it, not knowing anything about game development, from Horizon. I remember that being really touted at the time, where the way they were able to render such a massive world is that they just didn't render anything outside of your cone of vision. So it's literally just showing you what you can see and everything behind you is gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's really clever technology. If there's a way, if there's some sort of clever wizardry that goes into it, then of course it'll come down to, will people actually support it?
Yeah.
And I would love to have a little portable device that I can just play PlayStation 4 games on. There's loads of PS4 games that I haven't played, that would be perfect for this. I don't need it to play PS5 games on, and we're still at a point where lots of cross-gen titles are coming out, or if you buy one, you get both of them. I really like the idea in principle. I'm not convinced that Sony are going to pull it off in a way that's necessarily going to satisfy everyone, though.
No. Yeah, I mean, it might even, well, it won't.
Or it's, anyone.
I was going to say, it could potentially even encourage Sony to up their game again on backwards compatibility with older generations. Like, that could be a great little device for playing some much older games, but they're not going to. They're in a position now where they could be doing that with some of the classic games the few classic games that are available on Plus, but
it's not going to touch Nintendo.
If
it became their primary console and they branched completely away from home consoles and they made a handheld device that could run games of the same quality that a PlayStation 5 could run, then maybe. But this won't be that. This will be a console that runs games that are already out.
It'll be a compromise system.
A compromise, exactly. Yeah. It won't be its own device that they will make games for. I don't think, anyway.
I think it'd be such a silly move to have to splinter the development pool even further when you've already got VR2 as a platform, PlayStation 5 as a platform, and then potentially PSP2 as a platform as well. That seems, and I know they've done it in the past. They've had several on the go at the same time. And I think they just about managed to do it. But the quality and the cost of games is so high now that I think everyone would lose.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it's not gonna knock Switch off the top. I mean, the Nintendo got there first with hybrid console as a concept, and that, you know, in itself is a good thing to have done, to have been the first. They did it well for the most part, you know, the odd hardware issue here and there, but they did it well. And Nintendo's kind of USP as well is, for the most part, a library of simple-ish games. I know that, like, no matter how quote-unquote simple your game is nowadays, you know, even if it's just a Mario platformer, you can still create a Mario platformer these days that requires all the flipping hardware in the world to run, mm-hmm. you know, as beautifully as it can do. Or, you know, your Zeldas, for example. But they have art styles and gameplay styles and a history that they can bend and make work on a less powerful console that can be taken on the go. Whereas Sony is in a position now where they're always doing, you know, big cinematic AAA games, photorealistic. Of course, they do the odd interesting stylistic departure. But for the most part, people expect these huge cinematic events from Sony when they eventually come around again. And so, yeah, that's something that Nintendo has over Sony as well. It just has that kind of game style that works better on handheld.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let us know what you think about everything we've discussed today in the comments down below. We will see you in a week's time. There's just a few things we need to tell you about before we disappear. Peter?
Yes, you can find us, hello, here we are, on YouTube and Twitch. That's youtube.com and twitch.tv/teamtriplejump. We do all of our videos over on YouTube and all of our streams on Twitch. And if you've got Amazon Prime, you're paying for a whole bunch of things in that bundle. And one of the things you are already paying for is a Twitch sub. You can redeem that against us, get all the usual benefits of being a Twitch sub, but at no extra cost.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and TikTok, and all of which we are at Team Triple Jump. And if you fancy supporting us, it's patreon.com/Team Triple Jump.
I'd completely left the planet. Where did you
do the website.
I do the website one. Sorry, all the color coding's off because it's grayscale on this printer. Yeah. Triplejump.mup. That's our website. That's where you can find links to everything these guys have just mentioned, plus additional things too. So go there right now. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and we'd really appreciate it. Takes no time at all, and it's free. It costs you a buddy. Yep. Peter, can you tell us the week's sponsor once again?
Yeah, don't forget to rate the person that you bought something from on eBay with Sony's new cross-promotional system with eBay, seller grade.
Yeah,
I forgot what it was called. From
Celegrade. That's it. That's the one. Thank you so much for watching/listening, and we will see you next time. Bye bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.